Good morning. Thanks so much for tuning in to KRBD Ketchikan. I'm Maria Dudzak. Coming up this week, Blood Bank of Alaska will be holding a blood drive here in Ketchikan that will take place at the Vigor Alaska Ketchikan Shipyard. Joining us this morning from Blood Bank of Alaska up in Anchorage is Wes Dahlgren, and he's going to tell us more about that drive. Good morning.
Good morning, Maria. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks so much for talking with me this morning. So,
yeah, thanks for having me.
If I'm correct, before we, I have the dates for this blood drive being May 3rd through the 7th.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
You are correct.
Okay, so starting out, tell us about Blood Bank of Alaska. What is it? What do you do?
So we are essentially Alaska's blood bank, collect blood throughout the state and supply it throughout the state as well to state hospitals, basically.
So it all stays within Alaska?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. And why did you decide to do a drive here in Ketchikan?
Well, last year, Vigor Industries, the chairperson of Vigor Industries approached us and asked to do a blood drive, and we did that, and it was extremely successful, so we want to come back to Ketchikan. The community down there was extremely supportive.
And I know it's pretty expensive to do this. You obviously have to fly a crew down here and have things all together. Do you need a certain number of people donating to make it worthwhile, so to speak?
Yes. Usually beforehand, there's a planning process to just ensure that there's enough people. There have been some communities, an example, in the past that have not, that wanted to do a blood drive, but there's a certain, like you said, a certain line that we need to have so many donors there, and we can't, unfortunately, fly to all the communities that maybe want blood drives. We need to see donors when we go do blood drives, and that's the unfortunate part of it.
Do you know about how many people donated last year, roughly?
Oh, I think it was over 100 and something. I wish I would have come prepared a little bit more.
Okay.
But it was extremely, extremely busy from everything that I've heard and remember. And we were actually extremely impressed with the Ketchikan community, so much so that we've extended the blood drive by a few days.
Yeah, I did notice it's longer this year than it was last. Can you speak about the blood that's donated? People are donating it. They're not getting paid to do this. How is that blood used?
That's a good question. So that blood is used for transfusions. Patients certain patients, trauma victims, things like that, that would need it. The bulk of the blood around the country that's transfused is actually used in cancer patients and things like that, blood products. So when we get the blood here, we basically process it into different components, plasma, things of that nature, the red blood cells. And then that blood is then sent out throughout the state and used for people who need it.
And I understand it, you know, one donation can benefit several people.
Yeah, it depends how that unit of blood is broken down. Certain blood types maybe are broken down a little differently. Luckily, I don't have to worry about that. I just have to worry about collecting the blood, which is hard enough. But, for example, a typical donation will be broken down into multiple components, red blood cells, plasma, chance it might be made into cryo, which is another, I guess, a derivative of plasma. So, yeah, you could save multiple lives or potentially impact multiple lives with one donation.
Can you go over the donation process? What can someone expect if they come in to donate blood?
Yeah, hopefully it's busy. I would tell them to expect, you know, it's busy, and I would encourage them to make appointments so there's somewhat, you know, organized chaos. Not too chaotic, but just organized. But generally speaking, we would come in. They would just verify the person's name via identification, register those donors, and register them to donate, verify eligibility. Some of that is based on the timeliness of the donation, but also there's a medical health questionnaire. Just covers certain things, you know, potential medical conditions, are they feeling well today, travel questions, and then there's a simple screening process, temperatures taken, blood pressure, just to make sure that they're fit to donate. The last thing we'd want to do is take blood from somebody who maybe has a low or high blood pressure and then they're negatively impacted from that. And then from that, that they donate. And the process of actually donating blood and collecting the blood is probably the most simple and quickest process, or part of the whole process, rather. The questionnaire probably takes longer to fill out than actually donating blood. All in all, I would say that you know, people in Ketchikan that are curious about donating, I would probably ask them to expect, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. Certainly, we want people to actually come in, not be rushed, to donate, hang out, have some juice, cookies, water, things of that nature, just to stay hydrated post-donation.
And there you go. You get cookies at the end.
Yeah, it's lots changed in blood banking throughout the years, but the cookies have remained the same.
There we go. And I know you have a questionnaire. What types of questions, certainly not the whole list, but just an idea of what kinds of questions people are asked?
Yeah, and there's, you know, 40-some-odd questions. So, but just, are you feeling well today? Have you traveled outside the United States? Any potential, you know, heart issues, things of that nature, lungs? The travel part can be rather robust if people have traveled outside the country, and depending on where they've traveled, there's certain malarial risk zones, things of that nature. So the questionnaire really just, yeah, it's for anybody who's donated, they know what I mean. Some of the questions seem rather random, and that's basically FDA-mandated questions that we need to ask to ensure that the blood is safe.
And I believe last year there were questions about countries where the Zika virus was or something like that.
Yes, and actually now that's a great point. We no longer actually even ask those questions. The blood is just tested for Zika. So I believe it was last June the FDA mandated that we test for Zika in blood banks around the country, not just us. So we began testing for Zika.
Okay, so that's a good question. What are you, when you get that blood, what are you doing with it? What kind of tests are you doing, and what happens with that information?
So currently, all the test samples, when you collect blood, there's multiple vials of sample vials that are collected, and those are sent down to a test facility in Minneapolis currently. We are in the process, beginning the process, since we moved into our new building, of getting those tests here and keep all the blood in Alaska for testing just based on emergency response and how isolated we are. We deem that to be essential for our operations. So from that, the test that they have for blood, it's rather robust. I believe there's 13 or 14 tests, HIV, AIDS, hepatitis, what are some of the other ones? Chagas, things of that nature. Some of them I've never, you know, most people go through their life not hearing about some of these things, but just bloodborne pathogens that could have a negative impact and during transfusion, things that, you know, people who receive blood do not want these things. They are then tested. The test results, it's a rather interesting system that we get test results back on. It's all proprietary and secret, certainly confidential. And really, every unit of blood that we collect has a DIN, a donor identification number, and that unit of blood, those sample tubes, are tracked throughout the whole process, and then basically associated with the donor's profile, and it's pretty much on an as-needed-to-know basis. So, for example, I don't even have test result data. I can't pull that up just because I'm not in the lab and I don't need that. So it's extremely confidential as needed and regulated by the FDA.
And if something was found that perhaps someone had, say, HIV or something, is that something you would report back to the person?
Yeah, and I should say that's extremely rare. More likely is, you know, maybe somebody has a positive or a false positive for hepatitis. And the FDA does an extremely good job of mandating communications with the donor for positive test results, and there's a timeliness to that as well. So, for example, somebody might come in, they get tested with their samples, and then that, I guess there's a timeline from once they have a positive test result to then communicate that to the donor, which is why it's important that everybody have a contact information and address just to reach them.
Okay.
But again, positive test results are extremely rare. Certainly more common than we would like. We'd like no one to have them. I would think everyone would agree with that.
Okay, but as you say, it's kept confidential. And do you know what happens to, say, leftover samples? Is that destroyed or?
So the leftover samples are destroyed. Usually they keep retainer tubes just in the event that something happens, so they can still test that blood. And then those are destroyed from our end. And then the sample tests, from my understanding, once those are tested at our testing facility, they are destroyed. And generally, all the blood in those vials is used up for testing. So there's not, you know, excess blood lying around.
Okay. Is there anything people need to do to prepare before coming in to donate?
Yeah, I would tell them when they come in to donate, you know, stay hydrated and eat a good meal, particularly the day before and the morning of the donation. You know, don't wear maybe a long-sleeve shirt, or if you do, be prepared to maybe take a long-sleeve shirt off. You know, access to the veins in the arm are obviously important if you're going to donate blood. Bring a photo ID, and I would encourage them to actually schedule an appointment. So one, they're insured. Appointments have priorities. We certainly will try to accommodate walk-ins, but you know, to ensure that you have a time to donate, schedule an appointment. They can go on our website or give us a call, and that would help us out and help the state of Alaska out.
Okay, and that website is www.bloodbankofalaska.org, all one word there. And the number is 907-222-5630, and we will post that on our website for folks to find that. I think those are my main questions. Anything else you'd like to add?
No, we're just excited to come down to Ketchikan. Last time, the staff were extremely complimentary of everyone in Ketchikan. The community was great, and they loved having us, so we're excited to come back down.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for joining me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Wes Dahlgren, he is from Blood Bank of Alaska. Again, the Ketchikan Blood Drive is coming up May 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th, and that will be at Vigor Alaska's shipyard in Ketchikan. The hours for, let's see, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday are 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m., and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. And again, we will put the contact info on our website, krbd.org, if you would like more information about that.